have here. So we're recording this conference today, and the theme today is although the Disability Digest does a variety of things, is really we're going to stick exclusively to the topic of how to start a business and find reliable work at home business options. So, and we'll take some questions at the end today all about that. So if you could, I'm going to leave the phones unmuted for a little while. If it gets noisy, then I'll mute everything so that you can hear the speaker. So my point is, if you've got some background noise or a barking dog or construction workers at your house, you can mute your own phone by hitting star 6. And if you want to unmute it, you can hit star 7. So what I'd like to do, I know that we've got a variety of people that are online that have logged on, that can see the computer screen, and others that are calling in. Those are the beeps that you hear. I want to do a general round of introductions all at once. This is kind of a fun thing to do here, so we can get a feel for who's out there today. And it goes like this. And everybody at once, on the count of three, I want you to just say your name and the city or state that you're calling in from, so we can kind of get a feel for who's out there and who's on the line today. So here we go. One, two, three. Who's out there? Awesome. I think I can get everybody's name and state down. I got to memorize. Perfect. Good. So, well, listen, let's get started. I want to just give you an idea, if you're looking at the computer screen, what you're going to cover today and learn. And if you miss a few things, don't worry. I'm having this recorded, and there will be a transcript that will be sent around with it, so you can have a takeaway and listen to it back. So you'll get a chance to hear this great information again today. So first of all, I'm going to get into, you know, Andy Leaf, who is he, and about his background as being the resident expert on helping people with disabilities start a business. We're going to cover that. We're going to talk about some basic tips to start a business. We'll cover how much money you can make making a business or working for yourself without getting the shaft from Social Security yanking your benefits. Business plan tips, how people with disabilities start a business with no money down. We've got some really hot tips for you today. How to get started and where you can go for help, really step-by-step actions on that. Basic tips working from home. I mean, this has been one of the most frequently asked questions about finding reliable work at home options. And we've got some people that are calling in today that are already supplementing their income. They're members of the Disability Digest, and so we're going to hear from them. There's various businesses that they work on, so I'm looking forward to that. And then at the end, we're going to take some questions and answers. So that's what we're going to cover today. So let's get started. First of all, about Andy. Andy, are you still out there?
I sure am.
Awesome. For those of you that don't know Andy, he was here about a year ago, spent some time with us, and we recorded some of his work. But since 1996, you've been really empowering people with disabilities to start and run businesses. You've have a nonprofit organization called Disability Biz that you've done that with. You've done some great work, helped countless people get going in business. And what Disability Biz does is provides a variety of disability resources and small business services for people to get started. It's really a one-stop center for accessible and reliable business resource information. So there will be a, when I circulate this audio, there will be a resource section that you can access that. So Andy knows from his personal experience just how important it is to access meaningful employment and entrepreneurial opportunities. You've been a wheelchair user for almost 40 years now, and so transportation and health issues have forced you into this direction, so you're hearing firsthand information. So without further ado, let's get into some of the business tips and basic tips. And actually, let's start with some of the tips that you have, and then when we finish that, Andy, we'll talk in the next part a little bit about, you know, how much money people can make without losing the benefits type thing. All right?
Okay. All right.
Basic tips. Here you go.
Okay. As Brian said, I've been working with clients and helping people start their business since about 1996. And the majority of our clients that we've seen over the years, a lot of them had hobbies that they had, arts and crafts or whatever, that they took to the next level, took it out of the hobby stage and worked up to make it a smaller business. But they had a little bit of income coming in, not just to get some extra money for buying clothes and food and stuff like that. So I would first off say that basically you want to do something that you already have some experience doing. If you have that, that you can develop into a business. Something you'd like to do, you have an interest in, because the business you're in, you want to like what you're doing. If it's something that you don't like to do, then you're not going to be very encouraged to putting lots of energy into it. And running a small business takes a lot of energy. A lot of people get in trouble when they start thinking about how to get rich quick. They see these schemes. You can make $10,000 a month doing da-da-da-da, stuffing envelopes or whatever, you know, and they get into trouble. And usually they end up just having a bunch of products or services that they can't really sell. So my caution to you is to don't focus so much on the money aspect, but be realistic on what your expectations are and what your skills and stuff are to complement what you want to be doing. So,
great tips. Can I just mention something? I have a favorite example. I'm just, for those of you out there, I'm going to just mute the background noise, so hang on a sec.
All callers are muted.
Okay, Andy. There was a call that we had a little while ago, and you know, this gal was working with a coach that was helping her to find a business. She was disabled. And so the common question was, well, what is it that you like to do, just like you post? And this gal said, well, you know, to be frank with you, what I really like to do and what I'm good at is sitting around. So this is one of my favorite stories. So the coach kept going, brainstorming and thinking. She said, well, how could you build a business into sitting around, supplementing your income? So the end result is this gal started a business called Sitting Around. And what she does is she goes over to people's homes and she sits there and waits for the refrigerator repairman, for the cable company to come and show up, for a child to get home from school so that people don't have to take a day off from work. Perfect business. Doesn't require a lot, pays her good money, keeps people from taking the whole day off. So, interesting story. That would be an applicable example, would it not?
It would for sure, definitely.
Yeah.
You have to be inventive, you know. There's a lot of opportunities out there, but you just got to look around and see what suits you and what your people around you are needing.
So what does somebody do if they don't have skills or experience or just are plain stuck with coming up with ideas like sitting around? Any tips?
Well, basically, I would think about getting some training. Go back to your local junior college if you want. See the type of courses there. What interests you? Take a couple things. See if it works for you. If it doesn't, then switch over to something else. The other thing is you might consider working for somebody else. If you have an interest in retail or something, maybe go to a local retail store, maybe a jewelry store. Work for them for a while. Find out how the business works. Find out the ins and outs and find out what mistakes that they might make or what good things they do and kind of incorporate that into your own business once you finally start that up.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many areas that we get information on what to do and get trained. Online, of course, there's so many things available that are out there for free sometimes. There's a lot of books out there that are available that give you some good hints on what to do. And as I said again, the junior college is a real good source of having a smorgasbord of different things out there for you to learn and pick from and find something that interests you.
Andy, what about getting tuition paid for you know, somebody that's disabled and wants to go back to a junior college? Is there any relief for that through Voc Rehab or grants or local, you know, organizations?
Voc Rehab is probably the best one to go through if you have a disability and can get into the system. Some states vary as to how many people, clients are taking into their program. But if you can accept it into your local state vocational rehabilitation service, then they will pay for your training, they will pay for your books, and sometimes they'll pay for your transportation back and forth. So it's a real good way to get funding for getting your training done for your business.
Good tip. Anything else that you can think of before we get on to, you know, the general income structure and strategy for people?
One last thing is after you've done your research and stuff, you have a good idea of what you want to do, you need to find out what is the most marketable and needed. That's really important, because your business has got to meet a need in your community. So what you need to do is conduct some preliminary surveys with potential clients. You also want to do some reading about what your industry statistics are. What area you're going to go into, what is your competition, what is the growth factors of that particular industry. For instance, right now with the housing industry the way it is, you don't want to be going into selling houses with regular real estate, but there's a lot of distressed sales out there, so going to something like that might be something to look into if you have that type of temperament, you know. But basically, you want to analyze your competition and find out what your product is, how it's going to be better than theirs, and what your niche is going to be.
That's how the Disability Digest started. We surveyed about 500 people online using pay-per-click, you know, strategies, and it was astonishing to find that there was a lack of information all in one place, to make a long story short. So
it's real important you listen to your prospective clients as to what the need is that they want, and then once you finally do your business, you want to have the feedback from your customers as to what you're doing.
Yep.
If you're doing something wrong or you can do something better, they're a good source for suggestions.
No doubt. Another economical way to start to release some good ideas out there that I'm seeing is people can blog, which is, if you learn how to blog, you can get a blog for next to nothing online and start writing your message and developing an audience with low cost to no cost, and based on your audience feedback is another way that I see that people are able to, you know, see if they have a viable idea that sticks.
There's a lot of things out there. Yeah, it's a matter of just, you go out doing research, and on our website too, there's lots of connections there for other websites and information places, so a lot of resources out there.
Andy, before we get on to some specific tips in developing a business plan, often asked by people, you know, how much money they can make and keep their benefits, and it's generally around the SGA now is $940, last I understood it, which means that if somebody's on disability, that they can earn up to that and still keep their benefits. And then there's always the strategy of using a corporation once people start to, you know, make money and want to protect themselves. What can you add to that for advice for people? What do you coach your folks?
Well, one real important thing to use, if you have like $900 or so coming in as pay, you want to make sure that you use what's called the impairment-related work expenses. So that is, you can offset any money that you're making with any type of expenses that you have for employment. If, for instance, I'm in a chair, so if I'm paying for my wheelchair or something and I need that to go to work, then I can mark that expense off from my income. So you mark it off your gross and mark it down with that, with medical supplies, blood pressure medication if you take that, other types of medications, medical supplies if you need. If you need help with an attendant, personal attendant to help you with your work, then you can mark that off too. If you're paying people for services, that's a business expense for you.
This is
a lot of that off your check, and then accordingly you can get your expenses down quite a bit. So you're only making net maybe $100 or maybe less bucks a month. So it wouldn't affect your payments very much at all.
Wow, this is a new tip. That's why I keep having you back. You get all these great ideas. So let's say somebody has got a job and they need to, you know, they need to perform and they need to be medicated. So that medication, which might or might not be normally paid for through traditional insurance, could be a business expense. Is that what you're saying?
If they need that to be employed, yes. If there's something like, I have a monitor that I have, a TV monitor which I use for business expense. I have it hooked up to my computer so that I can show people that are here for different presentations what our website looks like. It also is, I use it for board meetings and such. So it has a business component, but it also is a TV monitor. But I bought that, and I can take out the whole cost of that particular equipment because I use it for business.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Great tip. Excellent. And, of course, that's best suited if somebody's working in a corporation environment. So the corporation has all the expenses, and you only take a small check out of that corporation, which is reflected upon your income, correct?
Right. Yeah, you can have a lot of your business expenses over to the corporation, and then you just draw a small salary.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know.
And for those that are concerned about opening a corporation, what can you, you know, the expense and the steps and all that, I know there's easy ways to do it, we've got some online, but you have any, can you help ease the concern about the concern of opening a corporation?
It's a little complicated, but it can be done by yourself for about $500, that's with all the filing fees and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
For a nonprofit corporation, for a regular corporation, it's less than that.
Yep.
But basically, it's a matter of filing with your state and with your federal as to what you're doing, your DBAs and such.
Mm-hmm.
It's a step-by-step process. We have those available through our website and such. So, and as you two say, too, I'm just going to digest, you probably have those steps, too. It's, each state's a little bit different, but basically, you need to contact your state attorney general and those type of things, and follow the paper.
Right.
You know, just make sure you do the paperwork.
Great. Excellent. Let's talk about business plan tips. And specifically, if somebody is going to go out, wants to start a business, like anything else, they're looking for money, you need to have a plan. So what tips do you have for, you know, most people haven't written a business plan, I'm going to presume that, at this stage. So let's start from there. What advice do you have?
Well, at the very start, you want to be realistic. You want to know what your particular physical limitations are. If you have a lot of energy, great. If you don't, if you're limited, then you want to make sure that what you're going to be doing is within your limits. You want to be very realistic about your income and your expenses, too. You want to make sure you do research and find out that what you're saying is reliable and that it reflects what's going to be happening in the future. This is especially important when you together a business plan for Department of Rehab. They want to look at your figures very closely. If it doesn't look realistic to them, then your business plan will probably be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, as I mentioned before, your level of competence. What are your skills? You need to be realistic. If you don't have the right skills, as I mentioned before, you need to get those somehow. It takes a while to put something like a business plan together, and it's a little complicated, but if you follow the easy steps, we have on our website such, it can be done. But I suggest that after you get it all done, maybe have a professional read through it, just to give you a little feedback from their perspective, if you missed anything or things could be done just a little bit better. So dealing with that, I think gets you started on the right course.
You know, this is good advice for, you know, the audience for the Disability Digest is, you know, I'd say there's maybe 30% that are not on disability and 70% that are. So, you know, for those of you that are not on disability and looking to do some work and supplement your income, again, it's not advised from my experience and speaking to others that you show any income while you're applying for disability. It's just tough to win those cases now. But what Andy's going through right now is exactly what I believe you should be doing if you have an aspiration to start a business once you're on disability, is get your plan together, do your research. All of that can be done right now and come up with the ideas. So a little strategy there for folks that are looking to position themselves during that, you know, 18 to 24 month wait while they get their disability income. So great tips. Okay. Now, we may have put the cart before the horse here because we're talking about our business plan, and now we want to talk about, you know, with your business plan, what you do with it, the types of funding, and there really are ways out there that you're going to reveal to us about how people with disabilities can, you know, they can start a business for, in some instances, low to no money down, right?
Yeah, you could get a lot of help if you're going through the Department of Rehab or what's called a PATH plan, which is available through Social Security from people who receive both SSI and SSDI checks. And basically what those things are is you'll be able to set aside money and put it into a business account and use that money for your business startup expenses or your business expenses. So it takes putting together a business plan, which needs to be very detailed and, as I said before, very realistic. But those two things, the Voc Rehab, they have particular guidelines that you have to follow. And the PATH plan, of course, through Social Security has its particular guidelines also, its requirements. So it's better just filling out the forms and turning them all in. We found that if people use both Voc Rehab funds as well as PATH funds, that they're more likely to be accepted in the Voc Rehab world. So Voc Rehab doesn't like to see so much just themselves being fully responsible for funding. They like to have other sources of income there too. So using both those sources could definitely help you get you started with your startup costs, getting your equipment together, and get you started on the road to having your plan done.
And
when you're dealing with Voc Rehab, though, although they are required by federal regulations to have programs for self-employment, a lot of the Voc Rehab counselors don't have any experience or very little experience with business. They don't have any training in that, so usually they're not real enthusiastic about you, a client coming in and saying, I want to go into self-employment. So they may discourage you from doing that, or they may not even have a program available in that particular state. We see there's a need in the community for that. So myself and the other members of SEE have put together a new software program, which will be coming out probably in the next couple of months. And basically, it's a tool for the rehab professional to help them work more effectively with their clients who want to go into self-employment. And basically what we have will be a program where a client, a Voc Rehab client, can go online and put their business plan together. They'll be able to save their work online. The Voc Rehab counselor will be able to have access to those files if they want to help their client through the process. Once the grant is completed, then our program will automatically go through, take out the different elements that are needed for the completed plan for Voc Rehab or for PATH, and put together in a coherent whole so they can present that for funding. You may have to do a little bit of tidying up on it, but basically all the information is there, and then you can present that to your funding source, whatever that happens to be.
Okay, I have a question here. This is great information. Let's walk through a past example. Let's say somebody has a Social Security disability check of $1,000 a month that they're receiving, okay? Here's what I would like you to explain. If that check is being received, if you allocate a portion of that, it goes into a specific account for a PATH account. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, how do you address this question? Most commonly people that are living on these checks, they need every dollar that they can get. That's why they're looking to increase their income. So if you defer $200 or $300 a month into a PATH program, how do you address the concern for people to reduce their income to do a forced savings plan to start a business?
Well, they're still getting a regular check. They still have the money to live on, but you have this extra money for your business startup, your business expenses. So it doesn't affect your own particular money coming in, your monthly check, but it gives you additional funding.
Oh, it does. So for example, you would still get the $1,000 check, but you might get a separate check that would go into a PATH account for a certain amount of dollars.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
You have to watch that very closely. You want to keep your funds separate. You don't want to have your past funds in the same bank account as you do with your personal funds. And then you want to keep records of all your expenses. And it's got to follow what your business plan was originally. This money, this X amount of money will be used to buy equipment, da-da-da-da-da, or we'll be able to hire an assistant to help me with my work, or whatever expenses you have down on your plan.
Okay, beautiful. Beautiful. So you still get your $1,000 a month, and you could get an extra, you know, $300 or $400 a month, perhaps more, you know, to help your business get going. And that's
usually past plans run for 12 months, but in certain circumstances they can be extended up to 36 months. When I was driving, to give you an example, my controls for my van, I'm a quad, so I needed hand controls, a very expensive conversion for a van. So it was about $19,000 worth. I presented my past plan. I had a job all lined up. I needed this van and the hand controls to get back and forth to work. So I submitted my past plan. They accepted that. The monthly amount was rather huge, $19,000. My monthly check at that point in time, I think I'd only put away maybe $500 or $600 a month. Past plan will not pay you up front all that money, but they'll put it in monthly installments. So what I would do, I had to borrow money from somebody else, and then I had the past plan come in every month, and I took that money that I was going to use for my business expenses and paid off my loan for my controls. So it took about 36 months to do it, but I finally got the controls pretty well all paid for.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, it allowed me to work. So if you have a business expense that you can prove to them that you need for working, they'll work with you on it.
So that's a good way for people to get some accessibility equipment addressed. What if somebody's already working? Maybe they have a job. Does it still apply?
If they need to have certain equipment for helping them with their work and such, they still work that.
Okay, good. So Junebug, this is an interesting concept. I want to make sure I get this. So somebody can come in. Software, is it going to be online?
It will be online. It will be available. We're focusing on the voc rehab professional.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be contracting with different voc rehab agencies.
Mm-hmm.
They will have the program. And then when they have a client coming in who wants self-employment, the counselor will say, okay, here is the software. We'll give you a pass-protected entry into your area. Here's the workbook to go through. And the counselor, as I said, will have access to that, too, if he wants, he or she wants. And then you go through the workbook, all the different chapters. There's 10 chapters altogether. And by the time you go through the whole workbook and complete all the work that's there, you have basically all the material you need for your completed business plan that will meet their requirements. Different states have different requirements for self-employment, and also the requirements for the PASS program.
Wow. Very good. Thank you for stepping up and doing that.
I've been in the system for so long, I can see what needs are there, and I've talked to so many clients over the years who have been so frustrated dealing with the Department of Rehab and their recalcitrance in trying to helping people with self-employment issues. So self-employment for people with disabilities, I think, is a real natural, because basically people with disabilities have problems, one, with transportation, reliable transportation, especially these days with high gas prices, and the other problem is health issues. Somebody may have just very limited energy, like myself. I can only work for a couple hours a day, and then I have to stop. Not real conducive for working in an office, but working at home at your own speed, you have the flexibility of working when you want to. But that also, working at home, you have to be a self-starter. You don't have somebody looking over your shoulder, so you have to have that type of drive in order to make your business go. Because if you don't do it, no one else is going to do it.
No. Well, we all usually, most of us have like a mortgage company or something looking over our shoulder. That tend to get us going.
That's an incentive.
Okay, let's, before we slightly change gears here, I just want to kind of wrap up. and cover what we've talked about here, which is we've talked about some basic tips for getting going. Focus on, you know, your core competencies, what you're good at, put it into a realistic business plan. If you don't have skills, you know, look at going back to school. And really make sure that you find the, look at the market, study the market, find the demand that's out there for the goods and services that you're going to deliver, because that will certainly make the viability of your business. And then the steps for your business plan that we covered, which was good, types of funding, we talked about that. So those are the general ones. For those looking at the screen, you're looking at the desktop of my computer. This is the members area for the Disability Digest, and you can come in here, scroll down, and you'll see there's a section about how people with disabilities start a business. This will be updated after this call, but if you scroll down through here, you'll see that there's different resources relative to what we just talked about. There's a link in here. There's a picture of Andy, for those of you who don't know what he looks like. There's information in here about corporations, how you can start a corporation through the corporation store online. I'm just scrolling down here. Information about the PASS program. That's up on the right-hand side in the block that you see right now. On the left-hand side, there's a great tutorial, step-by-step audio that will help you understand how you can use the internet to research a marketplace and find the demand. That was, of course, put together for us by Dr. Glenn Livingston. Link to Andy's site and other information here. Volk Rehab links, so it's all packed in here. So this will be updated after the call, but the core resources are there. So now, let's move on to talk about the next topic here, Andy, which is starting a business is not for everybody. And let's talk about just how do you find and some tips to find a reliable work-at-home job or something to do where people can make money other than, you know, licking 1,000 envelopes a day to make a buck.
Well, one thing that I stress to all our clients is do your research. You need to look out there what your industry trends are, what coincides with your particular interests. And I've come across a book recently called Middle Class Lifeboat. It's by Paul and Sarah Edwards. And they've done a really good job of kind of looking at what the industry trends are for the next 10 years or so. If you're not familiar with Paul and Sarah Edwards, they've been doing home-based business workshops and radio shows and books and stuff for probably the last 20 years or so. They're very, very knowledgeable.
And
this is a book that they put together that measures the different trends that are coming up in the next few years. So I suggest books like that would be very beneficial for people to read to get some background on what they want to be doing. And then one other thing, too, with if you're going to go into marketing, which you need to do your marketing for your product or service, one other good book would be The Guerrilla Marketing by J. Conrad Levinson. He's been doing those type of books for probably about 20 years also. And there's a lot of low-cost tips on how to get your marketing stuff out there and not cost a lot of money. So those two books I would suggest for put in your library for doing your research.
Middle Class Lifeboat and Guerrilla Marketing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Awesome. What about this? I mean, people find a company, and oftentimes folks get all excited, but I guess where I'm going with this, do you have any tips to find out if it's a real deal? You know, if the company is legit?
A couple different things. First of all, check with your Better Business Bureau if they're still going. California used to have local ones, and now they only have one up in Sacramento, and they're kind of hard to get a hold of. But they're still around, so check out with that, your local Chamber of Commerce, too. Check out with them to see if there's any complaints against this particular type of business. You also want to get some information on the business itself. How long have they been in business? You want to talk to their customer support. How good is that? Are they available when you need? Do you have questions? And then also get some references. Talk to some people that have worked for that particular company and get their feedback on
on what their experiences has been. And if you have the internet, what most people do these days, Google it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised at what kind of stuff comes up when you Google a company's name or something. You'll get all kinds of information about them. So.
Yeah, somebody taught me this tip the other day. When you're Googling a company and you want to find out, or a person for that matter, and you want to find out if they've been bankrupt or if there's fraud, if you type in the company name and then a space and then the keyword, like fraud or bankruptcy or scam. So, good advice. Okay, so Better Business Bureau, find out, you know, how long they've been in biz, and Google them, key ones, right?
Yeah, the information, there's so much information on the internet,
mm-hmm.
that if you just know how to work your searches and such, you can come out with some incredible amount of information.
Mm-hmm. And in your opinion, do the same, kind of skill set assessments apply, that you try to find something that's right in your wheelhouse, that you're comfortable with, that you're good at?
Always. You always want to have something that you're have an interest in or you have some type of talent for. Some new trends that are coming up. Like if you're good at tinkering stuff and like that type of thing, there's a lot of stuff coming up with repairs.
Mm-hmm.
Robotic repairs, for instance, is a new field that's going to be growing in the near years here coming up. Also, if you have a green thumb, maybe if you want to go into like a mini farming, growing organic vegetables for your local restaurants or for your local farmers market. There's all kinds of opportunities that are coming out there. You just have to kind of see what your particular interests are, what you like to do, and then what the need is out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good tips. Okay, you know what I'd like to do now? I'm going to unmute the phones here, and we've got some members that have, you know, said they kind of share their experience about working.
All callers are unmuted.
About working and supplementing their income. I'm not asking that they give away the store, but Tammy, are you out there? Tammy McPherson?
Hi, Brian. I'm here. Hello, Randy.
Yep. Hello, Debbie.
And is this Tammy? Is that right, Tammy?
Yeah, Brian, this is
Tim
McPherson.
Oh, great, good. Tammy runs a wonderful business called the Ultimate Fibromyalgia Resource. And for those of you that want to find out about her work, there'll be a link at the bottom here. But, if you'd be kind enough to just share a little bit about your story, about how you got started and built this wonderful resource, and it's kind of blossomed into something that allows you to supplement your disability, that would be wonderful.
Problem. I began internet marketing several years ago. I've been with fibromyalgia for 14 years now, and early on recognized the fact that I was not going to be able to work full time for an extended period of time. My first website was a site offering Santa Claus letters to children, and this came out of my own writing letters to the children in my family, strangely enough. I built a website because my sister said, hey, you know, you should sell this. This is great. People would go crazy for this. And it took us 3 years, but the website finally did take off, and now every December it provides me with about $500 worth of residual income I wouldn't normally have. And that was the first site. The fibromyalgia site came about when I finally had to stop working and file for disability. And it came about just from a sheer drive and desire to prevent what happened to me from happening to anybody else. And it has just sort of grown to be what it is today and continues to grow, I hope.
Well, that's great. Well, I appreciate you sharing your story with us. Those, again, can check out the work that you do. We'll put a link at the bottom here. Next, I'd like to see if Charles Vaughn would speak to everybody for a moment. Charles, Hey, Charles. Charles works with us as a partner at the Disability Digest. About close to 60% of the work that we do now is done by our members, and it's a way for them to supplement their income. But, this is not my time for a commercial. Charles has some great skills and has been able to lend a lot to our members. And I just, if you would, Charles, for a few minutes, perhaps some tips and a little bit about your experience for everybody, please.
I'd just start from the top that 5 years ago or longer than that now, several years ago, I became disabled, mostly from the back issue, and not being able to continue on where I'd worked, it let me go, and I tried telemarketing for a couple of years, and that didn't work. And then for 3 years, I was spending money, really, I didn't have to spend, on internet, most of them were the $10,000 a month type deals that Andy was talking about. And I stumbled across a book that helped me get my disability called The Disability Guide. And that was prior to Brian founding the organization. And then 3 years later, just back to 2 or 3 months ago, I'm stumbling through the internet again and I find this book advertised. I said, oh, this is my book. But it wasn't being sold by Jonathan Ginsberg, it was sold by the DisabilityDigest.com. And so I called Brian and, told him how I had used that book to help me get my disability SSDI in 9.5 months. And then I was interested. He was looking for people that wanted to work from home, and I really needed that. And I feel God's blessing that he led me to this site. And what interests me most was when you talk about having the personality for the business that you do, I believe I had that. I think Brian can confirm that. I have a lot of empathy for people who have found themselves disabled, and I have a lot of mercy and compassion with them, and I love speaking with them. And I'm really not selling our service so much as informing and giving people knowledge so you don't have to, I don't have to force it on anyone. I simply suggest to them that we have some means to help them to obtain their disability benefits if in fact they're eligible for it. And that's all I do is I encourage people, I pray for people, I sometimes cry with people, but it's the business that fits my personality.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Charles. That's right. Certainly appreciate it.
Charles, I like you found a good niche for yourself.
Thank you, Andy. It's perfect, and I would like to bring out a book. You mentioned a book. Here's a book that someone else might enjoy that's very easy reading, and I've enjoyed immensely, and it's called Why You Cannot Become Anything You Want to Be, and it's kind of the opposite of the service is talking about becoming everything you want to be, and the point of the book is that your personality, your work personality, your vocation personality has been formed when you were a kid. And many times if you look back when you were a kid, you will find out that sometimes that you were a leader, sometimes you were a follower, sometimes you were an inventor, sometimes you were a comic and maybe liked to be the star of the show. And all those are, so to say, pre-existing conditions to what you're going to become as you get older, or I should say what you should become as you get older. So this is a very good book, and it's by Arthur Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, and it's just great reading, and very very motivational.
Okay, very nice. Michelle Toole, are you out there?
I'm here, Brian. How are you?
I am doing great. For those that don't know Michelle, she... Michelle has a very interesting story. I'm not going to steal her thunder, but Michelle became disabled, didn't have any computer knowledge, and long story very short, has got an internet site called Healthy Holistic Living that is in the top 1% of most visited sites on the internet. So she's done a great job, and I've asked her to share a few pointers with everybody here today and how they might be able to obtain the same thing. So thanks for taking the time, Michelle.
Sure, my pleasure. And Andy, thanks for sharing all your great information. 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with a chronic illness, and I spent the first five of it very focused on what I considered my full-time job, which was taking care of myself and doing what I could to help the position I'd come to in dealing with my chronic illness. And I was bedridden and using a wheelchair. And once I had kind of elevated to a point that my health had improved, I decided I needed to stimulate myself in other ways and decided on possibly creating a business. And like everybody else, you know, we did research on the Internet looking for opportunities.
Michelle,
and
could you speak up a little louder?
Oh, sure.
I'm having a difficult time hearing. This is Charles.
Okay, sure, Charles.
Thank you.
I researched on the Internet and found, you know, that there were a lot of schemes out there and kind of stumbled around. And eventually I came across an organization called SiteSell that puts together a product called SiteBuildIt. That was my answer to be able to help me transition into technology, an area that I was inadequate in at the time. But my focus was really not necessarily on building a website, but imparting the information I'd learned through my recent experience. As Andy had noted, you know, what is it that you're skilled in? What is it that you've been focusing on? What are you passionate about? And be able to translate that into a business. And so I was very passionate about my experience in dealing with my illness and the choices I made to improve my position and be able to feel like impact my illness. And so that led me to being able to share my story on the Internet. And it's just grown exponentially since then. Partially because I'm a driven person and I have that entrepreneurial type personality and able to motivate myself, but partially because I found the right tools to be able to help me get where I'm going, to help develop the plan I needed, do the market research I needed to appropriately, you know, develop the business so we please the search engines as well as pleasing my readers. And it's just taken off from there. It's been a wonderful and exciting experience, and I've done it for the last year and a half part-time, and I'm certainly at a point where I'm supplementing my income, and I would say, fingers crossed, in the next year be able to say, I don't need disability, thank you, I've got it managed.
Very cool. You know, one thing I did want to mention about for the audience, Michelle, that you've done that's very clever and is consistent with your experience in transforming that into a business is Michelle has written a guide. It's a, you know, digital download, very economical guide for people that want to really focus on trying to win their case on their own or just have a thirst for knowledge to learn everything they can about the process. Michelle and her family documented the process that she went through, and so it's all available online, but, you know, here's a good example of somebody that went through an experience, documented it, and turned it into something that they can share with others as well as, you know, as a vehicle to supplement Michelle's income. So that's very cool. I commend you for that, and it's a great guide. So others certainly have had great comments about it. So I appreciate all that. Here's what I'd like to do now. I want to open it up for questions and answers for Andy or Terry, Charles, Michelle, anybody. If you would just, we're going to spend maybe, I think we've got maybe 15 minutes more tops of Andy's time. If you would just state your name and then address your question to, you know, the individual, and we'll do our best to answer it. And again, if you would keep those questions really focused on today's topic about, you know, how to start a business or find a reliable work at home opportunity, that would be fantastic. So, who would like to go first?
I would.
Okay.
Deborah. I'm from Port Richey, Florida. And I just wanted to pose a question to Mr. Leaf, Andy. If you can start a corporation and somehow have the money that you earn go into the corporation, then it wouldn't affect your Social Security benefit for a while.
That's true. What you'd be doing, you form the corporation, and then you would work as a contractor for that corporation for a particular wage, and then the corporation would pay you the wage whatever you want to have it at, $400 or $500 a month, $800 a month, whatever.
Oh, okay. And the other question I had was about a PASS plan. If you could use a PASS plan as for a home-based business idea, like I live with another family member, and VR is going to sponsor me with a business planner, but I don't have a home office covered. So I was wondering if a PASS plan could be applied to put money aside for a down payment on a a space, like a condo or something like that would be your home business.
Well, as a condo, you could write a half office rent for sure, but as far as buying a whole condo for that, that would be a hard sell. You could structure it, though, that you would have this income coming in as rent from your corporation, and that could help pay for your mortgage.
Okay.
If you can structure it that way.
Oh, wow. Okay, thanks.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Great. Good question, Deborah. Who's next?
I have a question from Colorado Springs.
Yes.
My name is Sherry, and one of the things that you had mentioned was disability grants. Whether you're starting a business or you're needing income, extra income, you say there is a course out there to get the grants?
The Disability Digest has a course that was put together with Rose Grohl. And it's a do-it-yourself course. You know, I believe, Andy, you'll concur that you need to exercise extreme caution about anything that's for sale online relative to grant research work, because it's a very muddied industry. But the course that the Disability Digest has is based on Rose's experience. She has indeed helped over 480 people at the time that I recorded the interview with her. So it's following it step by step. But grants are not easy to work, I'm sure, to get. I'm sure Andy can attest to that. But they are out there. So, Andy, do you have anything to add to the grant question?
Yeah, there's a couple things. There are corporations and such that do grants. There are competitions. The Idea Cafe, there's a business plan competition, I think, once a year. Mm-hmm. You can submit your plan there, and you compete with others, of course. There is a fund called Abilities Fund, and I believe they're out of Iowa. And the abilitiesfund.com is on the web there. You go there, and Patty Lynn is the one who's the director there, and they do business funding for people with disabilities. So, limited, but if you have a business plan and convince them that your plan is solid, then they can help you with some startup funds. We had a client not too long ago who was an artist who was trying to market his artwork that he'd done before he went blind, and he went to Abilities Fund with his business plan, and they funded him for, I think it was around $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So really, Andy, the best bet for funding is the PASS program and Voc Rehab, right?
That's the best way to do it. Otherwise, there's the few and far between. A lot of people want to start nonprofits because they feel, oh, all these grant monies are out there. Oh, boy, I'll go out there and get all this money coming in. Well, it doesn't work quite that way. First of all, Voc Rehab won't fund startups for nonprofits because you don't really own a nonprofit. It's a board that runs it. The other thing is that, I lost my train of thought there, but, what was the question again? I forgot. Was
grants.
Oh, grants. That's about it, I can say right now. But, yeah, there are things you just got to be real careful, especially for the organizations or businesses that say that we'll sell you this expensive book to show you there's 1,001 ways to get money from the federal government. Those are very hard to get. And again, what I was thinking before was the nonprofits. If you're going into the nonprofit world to have access to grant monies, it takes probably 2 or 3 years for you to establish a good enough relationship and track record in order to have to approach people for funding. So it's not real easy money. It's very difficult money.
You know, one thing that would be is helpful and really turn the tables for me in putting this all in perspective for Voc Rehab is understand that Voc Rehab is incented to put people back in a tax-paying situation, whether it's self-employment or you're running a corporation. That's what makes them tick and gets them government funding and really is their status that they're monitored by. So when you come in the door, you know, you have to be polite and very persistent with these folks because they're bombarded, but that's what makes them tick. that's why I also believe that's a factor in helping people and why that's a great place to go first. So.
And you have to know where else you can go to look for help, like the abilities. You have to ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, you do. Good. Who's next? Who else has a question?
I do.
Who's that?
My name is, I'm John from Tampa.
John, welcome.
How you doing? I'm just calling. I was curious about the corporation thing on the self-employment. Being one that just going to H&R Block nowadays to have your personal taxes done, they're hitting you with $250, ridiculous charge. But now as a corporation, you have to file a personal income tax and a corporate income tax. Now you're talking about $700, $800, $1,000. Is there any solution to that? Because I'm trying to pay less money in taxes than $1,000 versus $100 or $200 at this point.
Well, that's part of your business expense. You got to incorporate that into your operating expenses, and you got to pay for your corporate taxes. Otherwise, you get in trouble.
You're paying twice, right? You're paying taxes twice. Personal and corporate?
You have to go through and do the process. If you have enough money coming from the corporation, hopefully that will pay off their taxes and set you up okay. But it takes a while to generate that much income, so you're going to be probably running in the red for a while until you get up into the black. New businesses, at least take a year or so normally to get up to the point where they're in the black and making enough money to offset their expenses.
Yeah.
So it takes a while. You have to be patient. And you want to make sure you have enough money in reserve so you can keep yourself going.
You're not advocating, Andy, that somebody needs to open up a corporation day one, are you?
No.
Yeah, you could start as a sole proprietor, and, you know, when you get to $500, $600, $700 a month and you want to ramp it up, then you can look at a corporation.
Well, there's no need to do a corporation unless you have a lot of money coming in. Then you would do that.
You were making it a couple of years, you know, $20,000 a month, obviously. That's a lot. You're definitely, Social Security is going to find out about it, right?
You don't have to incorporate to go for a PASS program or for a Department of Rehab, so it's not really necessary until you get to the point where you're bringing in a lot of money. So I would start as a sole proprietorship or limited partnership or whatever you want to do, start out that first, and then if you're making more money and you're growing, then think about doing a corporation.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome, John.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Who is next?
I just wanted to share that I had asked the past cadre about the past plans, and he says I could go for a past plan for as many times as I want, only you have to pay the money back if you don't go, you know, through with your goals. But it can stretch beyond that 3-year period. That's what I was told.
Oh, okay. Well, that's new information to me, because I usually they have it for about 12 months and will extend it for 24, and it will stretch for 36. But if they do it even more, that's great. I know the government is putting together more incentives for people with disabilities to start their businesses. So.
Yep.
It could be part of that, just making things better and easier for people.
And on that note, is there anybody else on the line today that has a success story about supplementing their income while on disability that would be willing to, you know, offer some advice or tips? That would also be something else that would be nice to hear.
I do. I'm Pam from North Carolina.
Thanks, Pam.
Hi, I have I'm just starting out in a new online marketing business.
Pam, could you speak up or come closer to your phone? You're really faint.
Sure. Can you hear me now?
A little better, thank you.
Okay. I have started up on a new marketing venture. I've been on disability for almost 7 years now, and I went ahead and tried a product someone sent to me and was so impressed with it that I went ahead and got involved in the marketing opportunity, And even though this is a new venture for me, I'm already being able to make some money with it. And I've got to tell you, I have no idea, you know, what the ramifications are going to be, you know, with my disability situation, but I'm going to go for it, and the product is you know, that it needs to be out there, and people are really interested. So I'm very excited about it.
Good for you. You know, Pam, what I would encourage you to do is in the members area, there's a course called How Much Money You Can Make and Keep Your Benefits that will help you understand, you know, all of the limitations for the sustained gainful activity regulations that are out there. So it's typically more than people think that you can make. It's around $900 a month that you can make. Yep. Thanks for sharing that. Who else has a question today?
Well, hi, I do. My name is Karen. I'm in New York City.
Sharon?
I wanted to find out, I had two questions. They're kind of money-related questions.
Yep.
One was about offsetting medical and work-related expenses. And what that means is, does that mean that your taxable income is decreased at that point by those expenses? And do you pay the same estimated, do you pay estimated taxes if you're a self-employed person on disability?
Do you want me to take that, Brian?
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, your employment-related work expenses and your business expenses, you take your check that you got coming in every month, which is your gross, and then you want to deduct all your business expenses, your employment-related work expenses. And if you have maybe $800 in expenses and $900 coming in, then you have about $100 in net income, and that's what you will be charged taxes on. The other ones are not the employment-related work expenses so much. Some of those can be written off for the regular taxes, but it can be taken off for your Social Security and make sure that your check is not affected. So in some cases, your employment-related work expenses can be taken off your taxes, and others they can't. So, but mostly they can.
Can I just add a question to this?
Sure.
I want to make sure you understand this. If you're a sole proprietor and you're making $500 a month, and you have work-related expenses of $200 a month, and that $500 a month that you're earning is you're going to get a W-2 or something like that for it, is it the $500 a month that is viewed at, you know, as towards your SGA, or is it the net, which would be $300? It's the net. Okay.
It's the net.
All right. So regardless of being incorporated, you can still deduct your business expenses.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Okay. Great. Okay.
So you're saying that reduces your taxable income?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
All your business expenses, you take it off what your gross is, and then your net, which is after your expenses, is what you get taxed on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brian.
Yes.
Can I throw something in the mix of this? This is Tammy.
Sure, Tammy.
One thing, when people are trying to decide what type of business they decide to become involved in over the internet or working for a corporation or starting their own corporation, tax issues are a big part of it, and that's one of the reasons why I personally chose affiliate marketing over some of these others, such as multi-level marketing and things like that, as they are required by law to report any earnings over $800 in a year time. Anything less than that does not get reported. So if you are an affiliate for, say, Affiliate Junction, in a year's time that you earn less than $800, that amount is not even turned in to the IRS by Affiliate Junction in form of a W-2. So affiliate marketing is a very good way to do it, because anything below 800 is not reported.
That's a great tip right there. What we'll do is we will censor that out and only give that information out so that it's not tracked.
They'll tell you on, when you sign up as an affiliate, you have to give your tax ID number, and just in case you make or earn more than $800 in a year's time for affiliate sales through your website. And that's why I chose affiliate marketing, because of that reason. And that also, with affiliate marketing, you have the opportunity to set up various streams of income so that you're not dependent on one level company where your matrix can collapse, therefore you lose income. And it really is dependent. Income is dependent on your work. It's what you do. In other words, I only get, you know, paid for hits that I get to a website from my website. So it's performance-based marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get any of the online gurus to tutor you for nothing just simply by signing up on their list, and it won't cost you a thing.
Mm-hmm. That's a great tip. Thanks for sharing that, Tammy. Okay, we have time for maybe two more questions today. Who would like to go next?
Hi, my name is Paul from New Jersey.
Welcome, Paul.
Yeah, I have a friend who does, he's disabled, and he does, tutoring as English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
And his biggest problem is, having a location to do his tutoring. A lot of people are hesitant about him coming into their house. So is there any ideas on to how he could procure a location at low cost to run his business and make it something regular?
What age is he tutoring?
He's tutoring teens mostly, but he's open.
Okay.
But, it's most immigrants who want their children taught.
Okay.
The library.
Ryan?
Yeah, I could get a room at the library.
So?
Mm-hmm.
Have an idea for him. There are many internet, how do I put this? Just like GoToMeeting with our meeting, but you can communicate back and forth with the person. You pay a monthly fee to be able to conference with somebody. And the idea I had in mind in teaching the English would be to be able to speak over the computer or the phone through the computer, and do the exercises that he would be given, he or she would be given, through the computer website.
Yep.
In other words, you can see what they're typing in, and whether it's spelled correctly, grammatically, punctuation, et cetera, and yet at the same time could be speaking over that.
Yeah. That was my idea as well. Like, for those attending the meeting and looking online today and looking at my computer screen, it would be using this same format. And, he's in business for $99, actually less than that. He could do it for $40 a month for the online cafe and then his phone line. And he would be able to expand his skills by not just tutoring, but perhaps could incorporate, if he doesn't already, the typing and the written component of it.
Right. That's great. Good idea. Thanks.
Yep.
You're welcome.
That's assuming that his customers have computers.
Well, yeah, that is assuming that. The other thing is, if they don't, they can always go to cafes or libraries or, But that certainly would be a limitation.
Right. Yep. But the other thing, too, is you mentioned, even renting a room in a library might be a feasible thing to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Try a church.
Yep.
Sounds good.
So.
Thank you.
Okay. Last question. Who's up?
I was going to say the restaurant, the Golden Corral. They have a room you can use.
Yeah. Starbucks. All kinds of places. But by the time he buys a coffee at Starbucks, he may be better off to rent a place.
Well, yeah. I mean, you really think that people seriously...
I saw the MLMs have the corner on Starbucks.
No, he takes it seriously, and Starbucks is just too many distractions.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. You're welcome. Okay, last question.
Hi, this is Karen in New York City again. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Okay, it was about, there are really two, but, you know, if you don't have time, you don't have time. One is, if you're not getting a W-2, like if you do something where you're self-employed, like tutoring, where you're just bringing in cash, are you required to pay estimated taxes? Do you know? If you're required to pay estimated taxes. And the second question was, what are the benefits of having a corporation? So they're really two different types of questions.
I wasn't quite sure of the question.
Well, there's really two questions there. If you're earning income, are you expected to pay estimated quarterly taxes? That was one. If you're tutoring.
If you're self-employed, you got to figure out ahead, exactly what your tax rate's going to be. And paying quarters is a good idea so that you don't get hit with a big chunk at the end of the year. So I would, do it quarterly would be a good way to do it.
Let me just see if I can put the corporation part in perspective again. The corporation, if you were to look at it this way and draw two circles and, you know, have the corporation be one circle and you be another, if the corporation collects all the money, let's say the corporation is collecting $1,000 a month is what your sales are, the value of having a corporation is you draw maybe a $200 or $300 salary a month from that corporation, which would be the other circle. So what is showing on your income against your, you know, sustained gainful activity amount is the $200 or $300 that you draw for a salary. But the corporation, on the other hand, is collecting the money and, as Andy explained, can pay for other expenses that you have and allow you to control the income, because you might have a spike in your business and go up to $1,500 or $1,800 a month, or you might go down some months after that to $400 or $500 a month. But what Social Security is going to look at is they're going to look at exactly how much you make, right? Not the corporation. So that's really the value of the corporation is to allow you to control income, maximize, and leverage those expenses that you have. It's really.
You've got to be kind of careful, though, Brian, with the corporation, though. You don't want to be stockpiling lots of money and not using it for expenses. Then you could get in trouble.
Yeah.
Social Security.
Yeah. And there was I also heard that you also need to be careful about being, you know, the only officer in the corporation. So there are other things that as you start to get more successful, you need to understand. But the underlying point is use the corporation as really you're creating your own job and controlling your own salary.
Where
do you find help with someone that knows how to do that?
What, set up a corporation?
On our website, there is a step-by-step, I can send you a step-by-step thing on how to do a corporation in your area.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
It varies from state to state. I can give you the one for California, but other states is very similar. And it's just a matter of writing to your secretary at the state and get your forms and such. And for the federal government also.
Yeah.
Brian, before we end, can we bring up the concept of LLC versus full incorporating?
Sure.
Yeah, LLC is a limited liability corporation. That's where if you're going in with other people that the liability is somewhat limited. And a corporation, a regular corporation, you talk about?
Yeah, doesn't the LLC allow you to be a separate entity just like being incorporated?
Yes. Every liability corporation,
right.
It just restricts some of the liability for the people involved in the corporation.
I mean, it's a great transition step prior to considering, you know, if you are not at a point where you're making a lot of money to do an LLC versus, you know, looking at doing a full incorporation, right?
I don't know if there's much difference between the two. They're both corporations, limited liability corporation and the corporation. So self-employed, that's a different thing. You could go in as your own owner, owner-operated, and that's different from a corporation, of course. And having a corporation will give you a bit of distance from
a protection because it is its own entity.
Good.
Yeah, I had read something about the S Corporation.
That's another type of corporation, yeah. And that's where, S Corporations is where you have, oh my God, it was stocks, I believe it is. I'm not quite sure of the ramifications of that. Bava, do you better? S Corporation, what's the...
Yeah, actually, that's what I have. And I have a bunch of stock. So...
The difference between LLCs and what we call C Corporation or an S Corporation is that when you have an actual incorporation other than an LLC, you have to have a member meeting. Officers have to meet usually quarterly, and you have to record those notes. There's a lot more formality, and there's a bit more expense in getting it set up. With the LLCs, it's very simple. Often it can be done online. I know Colorado, I can do an LLC in about 15 minutes. I can have a tax ID, everything, in 15 minutes. And it's done online, and you can pay at very minimal cost, like $25 if you do something online. If you had to send the same paperwork to Colorado, it would be $100, just their application fee.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between the S corporate, the only issue about an LLC is, as far as taxes go, you can spend money for the business, but any profits are going to trail through to you personally, eventually. So it's like the money does not get stuck in it like it does in a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
It just flows right on through, so you don't have any double taxation. But any profitability that you have, any net income, will become a personal liability on your personal tax filing. Does that make sense? And now, when you're actually using a formal corporation, like a C corporation or an S corporation, the S corporation gives you certain latitude to minimize your taxation and be taxed at a lower rate than a regular C corp. And that's why Brian, is it? That's why he has been advised, or he's already learned that that's how he wants to choose to do his thing. Now, to have the greatest latitude to do a lot of other creative things, once you have a lot of money coming in, usually they recommend you get at least two corporations, and there are many, many technical ways to basically shelter that income so it, in essence, begins to be non-taxed altogether. But that takes some pretty sophisticated, you know, attorney working with you, or you getting very, very knowledgeable before you're going to get to that stage. But it has abilities that an LLC does not have.
Mm-hmm.
And that an S corporation does not have.
That's Darren Carwin Michelson, my roommate and helper today. So,
sorry about that.
Thank you, Brian. Darren.
Good.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Good. Good. Okay, listen, we're just about out of time, and I want to respect Andy's time here today and everybody else. So, again, this has been recorded. We're going to circulate it with all the resources that we mentioned here today, the books and the websites, etc. So I want to thank Tammy and Michelle and Charles and everybody else for participating, and most importantly, Andy, for this valuable information that you shared with us today. So I thank you, everybody, and appreciate you coming on by. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.